Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to offer up worship and praise to God this morning. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbor. In your bulletin, please make note of the announcements of various events taking place in the life of the church. You'll see that one side that is lifting up the Festival of Sharing, and the ladies shared with me at the early service that with your assistance, our Disciple Women's Fellowship was able to acquire $909 worth of merchandise that's used for the causes that you see on that particular side of the flyer. So we're really grateful for that. All of that was delivered just this past week. Also, please be aware of that 5K run as well as the crop walk coming up. But also your contributions for our church's food pantry are always appreciated. And of course, there's a listing of the items that are needed for this particular month there on that flyer as well. Next Sunday afternoon, please plan to join us for the fall festival that will be at Judy Thomas's house this next Sunday, October the 1st, 4 until 8 o'clock p.m. Even with Don's passing, David and Judy are committed to continuing that long-standing tradition that is such a blessing to our congregation. Please remember to bring a side dish or a dessert and to share that with everyone. And remember to bring a lawn chair as we all have an opportunity to kind of gather around the bonfire and share that time of fellowship with one another. And again, there's some instructions there about if you would like to carpool from the church going over to the Thomas's house. Again, next Sunday, 4 until 8 o'clock. The September board meeting is today, immediately after this service. We do have a couple of items of business that need to be voted on, so having our elders, deacons, and committee chair people there will be most appreciated, but certainly will be done well before that 3:30 deadline this afternoon, right? And our thanks to Spencer Jones for serving as our music director this morning and as our soloist, as Ryan is participating in a choral presentation that's taking place this weekend in Omaha and also in Lincoln, Nebraska. So Spencer, we call upon you to lead us in our call to worship. Thank you.
Let us stand for the call to worship. We have been raised to life with Christ, so we may set our hearts on things that are in heaven.
Where Christ sits on his throne, at the right side of God.
May we keep our minds fixed on things there, not things here on earth.
For we have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God.
Our real life is Christ, and when he appears, then we too will appear with him and share his glory. Now we'll turn to number 552 in your hymnals, and we will sing Standing on the Promises, stanzas 1 and 4.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing. standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, as we offer worship and praise to your holy name this Sunday morning, we also focus our attention on the guidance of your Holy Spirit and strive to center our lives on the living example set forth through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in Christ that we have a perfect example to emulate your purposes and a pathway to eternal life. It's in his name that we celebrate the privilege to worship you and offer this prayer. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May we have our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the way. Tales of the sea, stories. ways of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Undecisive? That's okay. So, I have a question for you. I know that some of your families like to watch football. Football! Yeah! Well, I got a question for you. How do all those guys out there playing football get so good? Because they're the Chiefs, I don't know. There you have it. That's the definitive answer if you live in Kansas City. Yeah. Well, actually, even the Chiefs need to do things to prepare for it. I call it the sportsman's ESP. First off, they have to exercise, don't they? A lot of exercise. Exercise, exercise, exercise. So that they can stay strong, right? And then they have to study. They study plays, they study game videos, they study to learn what they're supposed to do. And then they practice. A whole lot of practice. Did you know you have to do the same thing if you're going to be a really strong Christian? Did you know that? You have to, what? What did we say? Exercise. How do we exercise to be a Christian? We read our Bibles. We sing hymns. We do responsive readings. All of those things help prepare our hearts. Then let's see, we study. We read our Bibles. We go to Sunday school. We go to Bible study. We go to church and listen to the pastor. We study. And then we practice. We practice being good Christians. We practice giving love back to people. We practice giving to the poor. We practice helping each other. All of that so we can be better Christians. So, next time you think maybe you want to improve just a little bit, remember, practice, study, exercise. All of those things. The more you practice and study and exercise, the more you'll feel God in your heart. Yeah. How about if we have such a good group this morning, how about if we stand up and do a prayer circle? Can we do that? Can we come and stand up and do a prayer circle? That would be just awesome. Come on. Okay, hold hands. Get in a circle. Can we get in a circle? Everybody in a circle. Better let your brother in. There we go. Okay. Hands? Can you hold Dagny's hand? That's all right. We don't force the hand-holding thing. All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of these beautiful children. We thank you for every opportunity that we have to exercise, to study, and to practice our faith. Help us grow in our faith day in and day out and share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, Judy Taylor would like for us to remember her brother-in-law, Donnie Summers. He was involved in a very serious automobile accident and is hospitalized at the Liberty Hospital. He and his wife, Tina, Judy's sister, are from Lathrop, Missouri, but Donnie's concerns are quite serious, so please keep them in prayer. We also lift up Jerry and Betty Donahue. Jerry went through the emergency room at the St. Luke's Hospital on Berry Road, just to the west of us here, on Friday evening, and is having ongoing digestive concerns that he hopes to get some resolution through some testing, which will begin to take place tomorrow. Let's please lift up Susan Hanks in our prayers. Tomorrow morning, she will be undergoing surgery on three of the cervical vertebrae of her neck. The recovery for this is about 3 months, when we consider that ever since about Christmas Eve of this last year, Susan has been dealing with back issues that, of course, resulted in numbness of her left foot, her left lower left leg. She has had quite an ordeal through the stretch of this entire year. But now, with an additional issue here at hand, we just lift her up and pray for God's great healing power and mercy in the midst of all that is at hand. Please keep her in mind. Give her a call. You know, she's pretty much homebound right now, and that's going to be continued now for the next several months. Doug and Gail, it's our joy to see you both. Praise God. We're delighted you are here. Back among us here in Kansas City, a long journey for you, but we just pray, Doug, that KU folks in hematology will be able to give you a real sense of clarity about what's been going on and a direction for renewal in the months ahead. Let us keep in prayer Vicki Jones, and certainly also we lift up Randy Squires and, of course, Jerry Donahue again, as both of them are still on that quest for kidney transplant at Research Hospital. Among family members, we want to lift up Joanne Buckley, mother of Harold Buckley. We also lift up Kathy Archer's sister, Pam Roberts, in Ponca City, Oklahoma, dealing not only with that Parkinson's disease, but also that fractured hip and recovery from surgery to repair that. We also lift up Carol Cook's sister, Donna, Katie Turner's uncle, Tony, and her cousin, Anoki. And we lift up Psalm Bartley's son, Johnny, and certainly a number of other folks that have been upon our prayers for some time. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is in humility that we bow before your presence in prayer this Lord's day, as we contemplate the many ways in which you have made your presence and great love known to us. We remember how Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that ever since you created the world, your invisible qualities, both your eternal power and your divine nature, have been clearly seen, for they are perceived in the things that you have made. And even as we think of all the wonders of your creation, we realize that even greater than the vast expanse of the cosmos is the simple fact that you made the very essence of yourself known to us through your Son and our living Lord Jesus Christ. So as every one of us journey through each day of life that you grant to us in this earthly realm, may we truly strive to search out the living Lord Jesus, especially as Jesus has been revealed to us, as your great love shines forth through his great compassion and healing power as revealed in the Gospels. So despite the distractions that often absorb huge portions of our time and attention, may we be intentional in our efforts to learn about Jesus and strive to emulate his ways. For Jesus says of himself in John chapter 14, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." For these assurances, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Shall we gather by the river, where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather by the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints by the that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining
The delightful smell of fresh baking rolls always rushes my consciousness back to my grade school years. For it was a most wonderful and welcoming smell that greeted me as I walked toward my school, knowing that the cafeteria ladies were already diligent in their task of preparing lunch for the day, including those wholesome rolls. The reason we share the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper each and every Sunday morning in the Christian church is so that we, as we partake in the bread and the cup, that our memories will immediately rush back to that final Passover event in which Jesus revealed himself as that final sacrificial lamb through whom our sins are forgiven. And this is why we say every Sunday morning, as did Jesus, as often as you will, do this in remembrance of me. Thus, as you partake of the bread and the cup that you receive this Sunday and every Sunday, may you always remember how Christ's precious blood was shed so that your sins are forgiven and you are privileged to share in God's great glory forevermore. Our communion hymn this morning is number 386. We sing stanzas 1 and 3 of "We Come as Guests Invited."
We come as guests invited when Jesus bids us dine. His friends on earth united to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is free. Christ our dying Lord. One bread is ours for sharing, one single fruitful vine. Our fellowship declaring, renewed in bread and wine, renewed, sustained and given by tokens, sign and word, the pledge and seal of heaven, the love of Christ our Lord.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer.
God, our Father, we gather at this communion table today to remember your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross as the unblemished lamb that we might have eternal life with you. We ask for your blessing on this bread and this cup, which symbolizes Jesus' broken body and spilled blood. As we sit in quiet meditation, we pray that we may learn to pour out our love for others in true and humble service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. great magnitude of Christ's gracious giving of himself for our benefit is summarized in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse 45, as Jesus says of himself, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May our Lord's gracious giving of himself compel each of us to be generous with our resources for the benefit of God's glory here on earth and the benefit of others. We receive our tithes and offerings as Peggy first leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, we are so grateful for the blessings you have freely given us. As we come and offer our tithes and our offerings, we ask that you accept them and use them to your glory. May these gifts bring shelter to the homeless, comfort to the sick, rest to the weary, and hope to the hopeless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Rather lengthy text to share with you this morning, but we got to get the full context of what the Apostle Paul is writing about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with the heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal can be swallowed up by life. Of course, there he's talking about eternal life. And now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, if you will, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, but not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as we search your word, may we find assurance in the vision of our spiritual presence being at home with you at the time of our spirit's passing from this earthly realm into the glory of your eternal kingdom. For it is in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. You know, Carrie and I are probably not the only family that has a few towels that kind of look like this one. Right? Any of you got any towels like this? You all are laughing, I know. You know, I think Carrie and I both agree with the fact that we think that this was one of the towels that may well have been a wedding gift when we were married back in 1980. So that means that this towel is a little over 43 years of age. Now, you know, for the longest time, or at least I should say for several years over several bathrooms over the course of those years, this towel hung with pride on a towel rack in one bathroom or another over the course of those years. But however, there came that time when obviously you can see that it was somehow demoted in its priority in the family. However, this one, like many others like it, I've hung on to them because they make great car rags. And I actually, believe it or not, I actually enjoy washing and waxing cars. Now don't bring yours over in the driveway, but anyway, I actually enjoy washing and waxing cars, I think because it's a thing that my mother enforced upon me when I was in my early years. I mean, every Saturday morning I was up not only washing but waxing with Johnson's Paste Wax, our family's Rambler Ambassador with the black top and the red body. But, someone might say, well, you need to throw that away. You know, no. You know, the truth is that as towels age, they're actually more absorbent. Isn't that right? I don't see as many head shakes now as I did in the early service. But it's really true, you know, because somehow, like, the chemicals get out of them, and that cotton fabric somehow works. You know, you can take a swipe with this across the hood of my pickup truck or Carrie's car or my car, and by golly, it just soaks up that water. I still hang on to it because it's useful. But I know there will come a day when it will just be so absolutely tattered that I'm going to have to throw it away. I'm just not sure when that's going to be. Carrie said at the early service, well, that she could put it in my casket with me. I said, well, you know, since I'm going to be cremated, I said the towel will just burn up right along with me, so what does it matter? We'll see whether the towel lasts a few more years. But, you know, when Paul was writing what became the second letter to the church in Corinth, he was talking about tents. But what we must understand is that he was talking about well-worn tents. As a tent maker and certainly also one who repaired them, Paul knew a thing or two about old tents, wearing, ragged, and becoming faded and deteriorating. For these tents constantly flapped about in the persistent winds of the Middle East and Mediterranean regions and were simply beaten to pieces by the sand, the rain, the relentless sun and heat of these rugged regions. And as Paul had certainly experienced his share of beatings, harsh imprisonments, shipwrecks, perilous journeys, and having on occasion been stoned and left for dead, Paul must have felt like his body was just like one of those worn, faded, torn tents, even as he was tasked to repair them day after day in his trade to support himself and his ministry for the glory of Jesus Christ. Through his aches and his pains and the weariness of his travels and missionary challenges, this morning's text reveals that Paul certainly wondered what it would be like to simply shed his earthly shell of a human body, this earthly tent, if you will, and that he might be, as the second chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, might be clothed with a heavenly dwelling. Yet even as he kept his focus on the task that needed to be done to promote the gospel, he still found himself groaning, as the text tells us, under the load, saying in verse 4 that he wished to be clothed instead with God's heavenly dwelling. But later in verse 9, Paul goes on to say that we must make it our goal to please God, whether we are at home in the body, and again, in other words, here on earth in this bodily form, or whether we are away from this earthly body and dwelling in God's eternal realm. Our task is always to do what? To please God. Many of us may also find ourselves, like Paul, groaning from the weight and weariness of our responsibilities and tasks. We especially groan as we reach into the years in which our earthly bodies are indeed well-worn, faded, and tattered, very much in need of repair, as our aches and pains attest. We, like the Apostle Paul, wonder what it might be like to rid ourselves of these worn and weary earthly tents, that we might be clothed in what Paul calls in verse 1 of this text, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. Thinking of a house in heaven not built with human hands reminds us that last week, in this first message last week in this afterlife series, we focused on the story of the repentant criminal on his cross beside Jesus. We remember that Jesus says to him in a very determined and concise words there in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." We realize that Jesus is describing an immediacy of events that will take place for the repentant criminal. That very day he will indeed dwell with Christ in a heavenly spiritual place called paradise. That sense of immediacy of a spiritual realm is repeated in a number of events that take place in Scripture, including, for example, the Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9. Jesus and his disciples, Simon Peter, James, and John, they experience an immediate and an actual presence with the spirits of Moses, who represents the law, and of course Elijah, who represents the prophets. These are anchor people of faith for all of God's testimony. And what we realize here is that their spirits are not what? Sleeping. They're not sleeping. They're present in that very moment with Jesus, Simon Peter, James, and John. And as we mentioned last week, the immediacy of one's spirit being present with God within God's heavenly realm is also testified by Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 53. As the text tells us, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw God's glory and Jesus standing at the right side of God. And then in verse 56, Stephen declares, "Look, I see heaven opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God." Notice how the author of the text there, Luke the physician, he's making a repetition of that imagery of where is Jesus? At the right side of God. And who sees this? Stephen. There's an immediacy of the event. Now, some still promote the idea that our spirits endure some kind of perpetual sleep until the second coming, and mention that the idea of a text indicating that a person is asleep when they're dead is kind of a hint to the idea that, no, yeah, our spirits are going to sleep. Such as when Jesus said concerning the daughter of Jairus in Luke chapter 8, "Don't cry, the child is not dead, she's only sleeping." Even though, of course, we know before Jesus raises her up, she's indeed dead. But in ancient times, the state of death was often referred to as a state of sleeping. For when one is dead, one appears to be what? Sleeping. This expression was a softer way of referring to death, much like a person today will say about a loved one or a friend that they have what? Oh, they passed away. They passed on. We'll use those words instead of saying, oh, Mary just died. No, we don't want to say that. Sometimes I think we don't want to say it because we just like to ignore the whole inevitability of death. And sometimes we're just trying to be kind, if you will. But it's kind of a similar way of expressing words. In the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that is our scripture reading today, we realize that as Paul is tossing about this idea that he wishes his worn-out tent of a body could be replaced with a heavenly one, we note in verse 8 that Paul says that he would indeed prefer to be away from, if you will, this earthly body, so that he could be what? At home with who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, Paul says nothing about sleeping. Paul longs for the day that his spirit will be immediately at home with the Lord. It's that simple. Paul goes on to say in verse 9 that we make it our goal to please God, whether we are at home in this body here on earth or whether we are in the spiritual presence of God. That's verse 9. But then notice, as the Apostle Paul then continues onward with verse 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, he's so quick about his words, what we have to understand is that it's like there is an understanding for the people that this is the pathway. One dies, one sees Jesus, one is what? Judged by who? Christ. When? In the moment. That should give you pause. So in summary of this morning's message, I hope that we all understand that at the time of our death, not just our passing, literally our death, what's going to happen? We will first appear before Jesus. We will not appear before our dearly departed relatives or friends. We will first appear before Jesus. But remember this. Paul is also telling us that in that very instantaneous moment, we will also be judged. And the spirit of oneself will pass on either into paradise or Hades. And we're going to learn more about that next week, about this whole idea of the judgment that comes as we're at the judgment seat of Christ. You've got to come back next week, right? We're reminded that our bodies are like that old worn-out towel at times. If we live long enough, they just are. Or we're kind of like that old worn-out tent, even as Paul must have certainly been experiencing a lot of aches and pains with everything that he had been through by the time he wrote that letter, to the church in Corinth. But the question for you and I is, what will be our decision about Jesus? Do we accept Jesus or do we not? It is indeed a personal choice. But we must remember that Jesus says of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, his words, not mine, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. But also Jesus gives us an opportunity to turn to him. For as I also mentioned last week, I lift up again the text from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by your faith that you are put right with God. It is by your confession that you are saved. And so, in the Christian church, that is why every Sunday, without fail, I end my message with what? We call it what? The invitation. Every Sunday, to give every person the opportunity to make that decision. And so I ask you this morning, do you know Christ? Have you indeed sought forgiveness of your sin before God? Have you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? You know, it's a simple thing. It really is. But it has eternal ramifications for your spirit. I welcome you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know that your life will be transformed forevermore. Today may be that day for you. Maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 556, Trust and Obey. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we do want to remind our elders, deacons, and committee chair people that we do have the September board meeting immediately after this service up in the upper room classroom. Blessings to you all as we depart. May we pray. Lord God, as we journey forward with the new week, we rejoice in the truth that it is through Christ that we are redeemed and privileged to share in your eternal glory. With this assurance, we give thanks as we step forward into the task before us in hopes that our witness may indeed be to your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. sign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever